Chapter 129. Mr. Dick fulfills my aunt's predictions. It was some time now since I had left the doctor. Living in his neighborhood, I saw him frequently, and we all went to his house on two or three occasions to dinner or tea. The old soldier was in permanent quarters under the doctor's roof. She was exactly the same as ever, and the same immortal butterflies hovered over her cap. Like some other mothers, whom I have known in the course of my life, Mrs. Markleham was far more fond of pleasure than her daughter was. She required a great deal of amusement, and, like a deep old soldier, pretended, in consulting her own inclinations, to be devoting herself to her child. The doctor's desire that Annie should be entertained was therefore particularly acceptable to this excellent parent, who expressed unqualified approval of his discretion. I have no doubt, indeed, that she probed the doctor's wound without knowing it, meaning nothing but a certain mature frivolity and selfishness, not always inseparable from full-blown years. I think she confirmed him in his fear that he was a constraint upon his young wife, and that there was no congeniality of feeling between them, by so strongly commending his design of lightening the load of her life. "My dear soul," apostrophe she said to him one day when I was present, "you know there is no doubt it would be a little pokey for Annie to be always shut up here." Apostrophe, the doctor nodded his benevolent head. "When she comes to her mother's age," apostrophe said Mrs. Markleham, with a flourish of her fan, "then it'll be another thing. You might put me into a jail, with genteel society and a rubber, and I should never care to come out. But I am not Annie, you know, and Annie is not her mother." Apostrophe, "surely, surely," apostrophe said the doctor. "You are the best of creatures, no, I beg your pardon." Apostrophe, apostrophe, for the doctor made a gesture of deprecation. "I must say before your face, as I always say behind your back, you are the best of creatures. But of course you don't now, do you? Enter into the same pursuits and fancies as Annie?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "no," apostrophe said the doctor, in a sorrowful tone. "No, of course not," apostrophe retorted the old soldier. "Take your dictionary, for example. What a useful work a dictionary is. What a necessary work. The meanings of words. Without Dr. Johnson, or somebody of that sort, we might have been at this present moment calling an Italian iron a bedstead. But we can't expect a dictionary, especially when it's making to interest Annie, can we?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, the doctor shook his head. "And that's why I so much approve," apostrophe said Mrs. Markleham, tapping him on the shoulder with her shut-up fan, "of your thoughtfulness. It shows that you don't expect, as many elderly people do expect, old heads on young shoulders. You have studied Annie's character, and you understand it. That's what I find so charming." Apostrophe, even the calm and patient face of Dr. Strong expressed some little sense of pain, I thought, under the infliction of these compliments. "Therefore, my dear doctor," apostrophe said the old soldier, giving him several affectionate taps, "you may command me, at all times and seasons. Now, do understand that I am entirely at your service. I am ready to go with Annie to operas, concerts, exhibitions, all kinds of places, and you shall never find that I am tired. Duty, my dear doctor, before every consideration in the universe." Apostrophe, apostrophe, she was as good as her word. She was one of those people who can bear a great deal of pleasure, and she never flinched in her perseverance in the cause. She seldom got hold of the newspaper, which she settled herself down in the softest chair in the house to read through an eyeglass every day for 2 hours, but she found out something that she was certain Annie would like to see. It was in vain for Annie to protest that she was weary of such things. Her mother's remonstrance always was, "Now, my dear Annie, I am sure you know better, and I must tell you, my love, that you are not making a proper return for the kindness of Dr. Strong. apostrophe. This was usually said in the doctor's presence, and appeared to me to constitute Annie's principal inducement for withdrawing her objections when she made any. But in general she resigned herself to her mother, and went where the old soldier would. It rarely happened now that Mr. Maldon accompanied them. Sometimes my aunt and Dora were invited to do so, and accepted the invitation. Sometimes Dora only was asked. The time had been when I should have been uneasy in her going, but reflection on what had passed that former night in the doctor's study had made a change in my mistrust. I believed that the doctor was right, and I had no worse suspicions. My aunt rubbed her nose sometimes, when she happened to be alone with me, and said she couldn't make it out. She wished they were happier. She didn't think our military friend, so she always called the old soldier, mended the matter at all. My aunt further expressed her opinion that if our military friend would cut off those butterflies and give them to the chimney sweepers for May Day, it would look like the beginning of something sensible on her part. Apostrophe, but her abiding reliance was on Mr. Dick. That man had evidently an idea in his head, she said. And if he could only once pen it up into a corner, which was his great difficulty, he would distinguish himself in some extraordinary manner. Unconscious of this prediction, Mr. Dick continued to occupy precisely the same ground in reference to the doctor and to Mrs. Strong. He seemed neither to advance nor to recede. He appeared to have settled into his original foundation, like a building, and I must confess that my faith in his ever-moving was not much greater than if he had been a building. But one night, when I had been married some months, Mr. Dick put his head into the parlor, where I was writing alone, Dora having gone out with my aunt, to take tea with the two little birds, and said, with a significant cough, "You couldn't speak to me without inconveniencing yourself, Trotwood, I am afraid." Apostrophe, apostrophe, certainly, Mr. Dick, apostrophe, said I, "come in." Apostrophe, Trotwood, apostrophe, said Mr. Dick, laying his finger on the side of his nose, after he had shaken hands with me. "Before I sit down, I wish to make an observation. You know your aunt?" Apostrophe, a little, apostrophe, I replied. "She is the most wonderful woman in the world, sir." Apostrophe, apostrophe, after the delivery of this communication, which he shot out of himself, as if he were loaded with it, Mr. Dick sat down with greater gravity than usual, and looked at me. "Now, boy," apostrophe, said Mr. Dick, "I am going to put a question to you." Apostrophe, "as many as you please," apostrophe, said one. "What do you consider me, sir?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Mr. Dick, folding his arms. "A dear old friend," apostrophe, said one. "Thank you, Trotwood," apostrophe, returned Mr. Dick, laughing, and reaching across in high glee to shake hands with me. "But I mean, boy," apostrophe, resuming his gravity, "what do you consider me in this respect?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, touching his forehead. I was puzzled how to answer, but he helped me with a word. "Weak?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Dick. "Well, apostrophe," I replied, dubiously. "Rather so." Apostrophe, exactly. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Dick, who seemed quite enchanted by my reply. "That is, Trotwood, when they took some of the trouble out of you-know-whose head, and put it you-know-where, there was a apostrophe." Mr. Dick made his two hands revolve very fast about each other a great number of times, and then brought them into collision, and rolled them over and over one another, to express confusion. "There was that sort of thing done to me somehow. Eh?" Apostrophe, I nodded at him, and he nodded back again. "In short, boy," apostrophe, said Mr. Dick, dropping his voice to a whisper, "I am simple." Apostrophe, I would have qualified that conclusion, but he stopped me. "Yes, I am. She pretends I am not. She won't hear of it, but I am. I know I am. If she hadn't stood my friend, sir, I should have been shut up to lead a dismal life these many years. But I'll provide for her. I never spend the copying money. I put it in a box. I have made a will. I'll leave it all to her. She shall be rich noble. Apostrophe apostrophe. Mr. Dick took out his pocket handkerchief and wiped his eyes. He then folded it up with great care, pressed it smooth between his two hands, put it in his pocket, and seemed to put my aunt away with it. Now you are a scholar, Trotwood, apostrophe said Mr. Dick. You are a fine scholar. You know what a learned man, what a great man, the doctor is. You know what honor he has always done me. Not proud in his wisdom. Humble, humble, condescending even to poor Dick, who is simple and knows nothing. I have sent his name up, on a scrap of paper, to the kite, along the string, when it has been in the sky, among the larks. The kite has been glad to receive it, sir, and the sky has been brighter with it. Apostrophe, I delighted him by saying, most heartily, that the doctor was deserving of our best respect and highest esteem. And his beautiful wife is a star, apostrophe said Mr. Dick. A shining star. I have seen her shine, sir. But, apostrophe bringing his chair nearer, and laying one hand upon my knee, clouds, sir, clouds. Apostrophe, I answered the solicitude which his face expressed, by conveying the same expression into my own, and shaking my head. What clouds? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Dick. He looked so wistfully into my face, and was so anxious to understand, that I took great pains to answer him slowly and distinctly, as I might have entered on an explanation to a child. There is some unfortunate division between them, apostrophe I replied. Some unhappy cause of separation. A secret. It may be inseparable from the discrepancy in their years. It may have grown up out of almost nothing. Apostrophe, Mr. Dick, who had told off every sentence with a thoughtful nod, paused when I had done, and sat considering, with his eyes upon my face, and his hand upon my knee. Doctor not angry with her, Trotwood? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, after some time. No. Devoted to her. Apostrophe, then, I have got it, boy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Dick. The sudden exultation with which he slapped me on the knee, and leaned back in his chair, with his eyebrows lifted up as high as he could possibly lift them, made me think him farther out of his wits than ever. He became as suddenly grave again, and leaning forward as before, said first respectfully taking out his pocket handkerchief, as if it really did represent my aunt. Most wonderful woman in the world, Trotwood. Why has she done nothing to set things right? Apostrophe apostrophe, too delicate and difficult a subject for such interference, apostrophe I replied. Fine scholar, apostrophe said Mr. Dick, touching me with his finger. Why has he done nothing? Apostrophe apostrophe, for the same reason, apostrophe I returned. Then, I have got it, boy. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Dick. And he stood up before me, more exultingly than before, nodding his head, and striking himself repeatedly upon the breast, until one might have supposed that he had nearly nodded, and struck all the breath out of his body. A poor fellow with a craze, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Dick, a simpleton, a weak-minded person present company, you know. Apostrophe apostrophe striking himself again, may do what wonderful people may not do. I'll bring them together, boy. I'll try. They'll not blame me. They'll not object to me. They'll not mind what I do, if it's wrong. I'm only Mr. Dick. And who minds Dick? Dick's nobody. Woo. Apostrophe he blew a slight, contemptuous breath, as if he blew himself away. It was fortunate he had proceeded so far with his mystery, for we heard the coach stop at the little garden gate, which brought my aunt and Dora home. Not a word, boy. Apostrophe apostrophe he pursued in a whisper. Leave all the blame with Dick Simple Dick Mad Dick. I have been thinking, sir, for some time, that I was getting it, and now I have got it. After what you have said to me, I am sure I have got it. All right. Apostrophe not another word did Mr. Dick utter on the subject, but he made a very telegraph of himself for the next half hour, to the great disturbance of my aunt's mind, to enjoin inviolable secrecy on me. To my surprise, I heard no more about it for some 2 or 3 weeks, though I was sufficiently interested in the result of his endeavors. Descrying a strange gleam of good sense, I say nothing of good feeling, for that he always exhibited in the conclusion to which he had come. At last I began to believe that, in the flighty and unsettled state of his mind, he had either forgotten his intention or abandoned it. One fair evening, when Dora was not inclined to go out, my aunt and I strolled up to the doctor's cottage. It was autumn, when there were no debates to vex the evening air, and I remember how the leaves smelt like our garden at Blunderstone as we trod them underfoot, and how the old unhappy feeling seemed to go by on the sighing wind. It was twilight when we reached the cottage. Mrs. Strom was just coming out of the garden, where Mr. Dick yet lingered, busy with his knife, helping the gardener to point some stakes. The doctor was engaged with someone in his study, but the visitor would be gone directly, Mrs. Strom said, and begged us to remain and see him. We went into the drawing room with her, and sat down by the darkening window. There was never any ceremony about the visits of such old friends and neighbors as we were. We had not sat here many minutes, when Mrs. Markleham, who usually contrived to be in a fuss about something, came bustling in, with her newspaper in her hand, and said, out of breath, "My goodness gracious, Annie, why didn't you tell me there was someone in the study? Apostrophe, apostrophe, my dear mama, apostrophe," she quietly returned, "how could I know that you..." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.